Good morning. Still morning, yes. Okay. You folks may be seated, and just going to hit the floor running. I'm going to try my best to get you out of here by 2, so we're in a hurry. So, anyway, I guess you already heard my name, so it won't be on the test. Don't worry. But anyway, we've been on the road for 33 years full-time. That's a long time. Now, I will say, if you're a conspiracy theorist, and I said the word 33, don't freak out. It's just, that's what it's been. If you know what I'm talking about, you know. If you don't, you don't. That's okay. Anyway, some of the pictures of my family, we've been on the road. Our son, his first meeting was, he was about this big. But as you notice, I look a little different than most, and I'll probably talk a little different than most. About 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with a massive brain tumor. The surgeon actually says, see, they're small, medium, large, extra large tumors. Yours is ginormous. And anyway, it was this deal down here on the bottom. Up here on top, these are the ventricles. That's another whole story. But anyway, my spinal column, the brainstem, I should say, before the spinal column, brainstem was pushed over in a C, and it just messed everything up with me, everything. And so anyway, I had the surgery, and it was a success. I had been cut into 31 times, 31 places, 11 surgeries in the last 4 years. It's been a roller coaster, to say the least. But anyway, had several facial reanimation surgeries, and when it, right at first, it was pretty significant, the drop. And so anyway, they've been working on it and patching in some nerves and doing all kinds of things. Basically, cut me up both sides, up under the lip, took my face off, worked around with the nerves and put it back on, and It was quite a deal. And I had to relearn everything. And anyway, my eyes just undergone enormous trauma over the last several years. And couldn't see at all when it first happened. It's a long story. But anyway, but it's getting better now. But, you know, if you see me sitting with my eyes closed, it's not because I'm necessarily sleeping. It doesn't blink. So it dries out. So I have to tend it quite a lot. So anyway, enough of that stuff. So if you are interested in the whole thing, the full story, I started a YouTube channel just like 2 months ago about my journey. I haven't even gotten anything but I think 3 or 4 videos now, but on it. And it's a small channel. I mean, I just started it. But I will say this, build your faith before tragedy strikes. Now, that kind of corresponds with what the pastor just mentioned up here just a few minutes ago, because folks, we all have issues. It could be health, it could be family, it could be marital, it could be financial, it could be job, it could be all kind of problems. And a lot of times disaster hits and people want to scramble trying to find God, you know, and they don't understand, and why me, and all that kind of stuff. Listen, if you build your faith before anything really drastic happens and you're solid, you're going to say it right through. You know, there's nothing special about me or my family. I mean, we're just normal people doing what God wants us to do. But the reality is, when I had this and my last visit at the surgeon's office before the surgery, he had a list of totally devastating things. I wasn't even really supposed to live through the surgery, much less if I did, I couldn't walk, couldn't talk, couldn't breathe, couldn't digest, couldn't, I mean, it was horrible. And so anyway, I'm sitting there listening to it, and at one point, my wife actually looked at him and said, "Can you tell us anything good?" And he looked right at her and said, "No." Okay. But I will say, I never had fear, never had doubt, never had worry, never had anxiety about it, never any of that stuff. My whole position was, God's got this thing. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's okay. And so just keep that in mind. Anyway, then got to get going. And then my wife, because we traveled so long and all over this country, been to every state many, many times over, and she started also a YouTube channel, just Unclassic Road Trip, about our travels and things we've done, and there's so many beautiful things in this country to see. Anyway, check with her on that later. And then I have a channel that I haven't done anything on it in a while, but it's mainly about just my name. Steve Broman is the name of it, but science-related topics, like 600 and something videos on there. So anyway, just check her table out in the foyer when we're done if you're interested in any of that. But I will say this, John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Folks, we've been on the road a long time, decades, and I have started every service with that verse right there. The Bible doesn't just contain truth, it is truth. And it's forever settled in heaven. Whatever God said, it's done. Okay, this is important. This is important because, well, you'll see why here in a little bit what I'm talking about. But folks, it's important that we understand what God's word we're reading actually is, because it matters. It matters, as we'll see. Now, having said that, this happens to be September 25. I want to show you just a smattering of science publications, because we're talking about creation versus evolution. We've all been left with this misunderstanding, really, that science has done this, and they've proven this, and they know this, and all that kind of thing. And a lot of times, people want to take what that science says and somehow try to reinterpret the Bible to accept what it says. That's a real common thing. So I want to show you a couple of things here. Now, this happened to be Scientific American, one of the most popular science publications on this earth. But anyway, they ran this article just last September, not too long ago, 6 months ago. But anyway, they come right out and say, they're talking about the everything we know, we thought we knew was wrong, and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, look at this. We set out to find the fascinating example of what happens when foundational assumptions get put to the test. Okay, they're going to try to figure out what happens when the foundational assumptions get put to the test. You know, assumptions, you know, pseudoscience is a system of theories, assumptions, or methods erroneously regarded as scientific. That's kind of interesting. Now, look at this one, September 25, research in reverse. Scientists make a 180-degree turn in their thinking. That's really important. How can they make a 180-degree turn in their thinking? That's amazing. Scientific America ran this, Darwin's influence on modern thought. I'm just going to scan through this. Our son actually got to go over to Darwin's house not too long ago. And in there, on the wall, they have his actual notebook where he drew the first tree of life. You know, we've all seen this thing where, you know, life starts as an amoeba. We slowly branch out and do all this, turn into other things. He wrote right on top, I think. It's always been a thought process, folks. It's always been thought. You may get told something, even in school. This is a fact. It'll even call it a fact. This is proven. They'll even say it's proven. We know this. They say they know it. But it is nothing more than somebody's thought. It's their thinking. They want us to believe as though it's a fact. Folks, thy word is truth, not those science textbooks. This is important. Ideas that shape Darwin's thinking. Look at this thing. This is incredible. I think I have this one. Yeah, watch this. Slowly, after studying many scientific theories of his day, of his time, Darwin began to change his thinking dramatically. The thinking. How about this one? September 25, the cosmos revived. The universe has a habit of disproving unassailable facts. Well, then that's not what they are. They can call it an unassailable fact, but the universe, when they go to test things, it doesn't show up. And not only that, look at this one, September. RNA, not DNA, is the key to life. How many times over the years have we heard it's just in their DNA? I mean, it's all DNA. DNA runs everything. Your DNA told your body how to be and what to be and what color to be and what color hair, what color, how big a hair, how long a hair, how. Now they're saying, maybe it's RNA. Folks, they don't have a clue. Please understand, they don't have a clue about anything. This serious. I mean, I'm not anti-science. I'm not opposed to science. So let me say this, two things. But I'm not opposed to science, first. Iron is still iron. A bone is a bone. Your heart is a heart that pumps the blood. I mean, there are things that are true in any and all textbooks. But if it has anything to do at all with evolution, it's not true. It is not true at all. And that's, it doesn't matter what they say about it, it's not true. And we need to understand thy word is truth. That's the important point about it. And also, look at this one. New view of CO2. the most important and most misunderstood molecule on Earth. CO2? What about all this carbon footprint nonsense? What about all this? We got to put regulations on your Aquanet hairspray or your asthma inhaler or your car exhaust or any of this. Now they're saying, CO2 is actually probably the most important. That's not what we've been taught for years. Folks, they don't have a clue. I could go on for literally hours. I'm showing you 7-8 slides on this kind of thing. Please understand, I've got thousands of slides based on every branch of science, any kind of part of science you can possibly imagine. None of that stuff is the way they present it. It is so important we understand. Now, I will say this too. Let me say this as we get started. If there are even some public school teachers in this room, which we have them quite a lot, I've done many meetings with public school teachers. We've done meetings with pastors who are public school teachers. I'm not against the public school teachers, so don't misunderstand me. But the system that runs the overall thing, either there is a God of creation, well, let me say that a different way. There is the God of creation, and there's the God of this world. That's it. Those are the only two options we have. If something is not in the God of creation basket, we'll call it, by definition, it's in the God of this world basket. That's all there is to it. Whether we like it or not, it may be well filtered on down and, you know, watered down pretty good. And so, don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. But what I'm trying to really get across is thy word is truth. We're going to see a bunch tonight and Tuesday especially. And I want to encourage you, everybody, come back Tuesday, because it is so important that we get a handle on exactly what the Bible says so we can defend it even amongst neighbors and friends and coworkers and family members and our own thoughts, our own thought processes. Now, watch this. Catholic Answers wrote this. Not Catholic bashing, they're the ones that publish this. But this was in 24, all right? But so many scientists are atheists. What if 99% of scientists don't believe in God? Should that shake your faith? Now, I want you to put this in perspective for a minute. Well, let me show you this slide first. This is part of the article. Many scientists, particularly those in the elite organizations like National Academy of Science, tend to identify as atheists or do not believe in God, with studies showing that around 93% of its members do not believe in God. Folks, basically, in a nutshell, 99% of the elites and 93% of all the members in the sciences that we learn our stuff from, they're the ones that come up with it and do it and all that and are presenting it to us, they don't believe in God. Should that shake your faith? Now, watch this now. This was way back in 2014. Hugh did the study. Most Christians say science does not conflict with their religious beliefs. The ones that do say it conflicts, 35%. The ones that say it does not conflict, 63%. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. If 99% of the elite scientists in the organizations don't believe in God, and they're doing research in that mindset and giving us information, if only 35% says that's a problem, do you see the problem here? I mean, most Christians, you know why? Well, I'll show you this in a minute. I mean, this is incredible. Now, here's a more recent study. This is in late 24, 10 years later. Americans are divided whether science and religion are mostly in conflict. All U.S. adults, 50% say mostly in conflict, and 47% mostly compatible, and some that they just don't know. Now, high religious, okay, by the religiousness of the person, when it is high, it's 35%, same as that last study 10 years ago, 62%, basically the same as that last study. When the religiousness of a person is low in conflict, it's 73%. Where it's not in conflict, it's only 26%. Now, I want you to think about something, folks. This is where the rubber meets the road. I know a lot of numbers, and maybe you're thinking, what is he saying? Listen to the importance here. Most of the scientists, the elite scientists, the people who put the information together that we learn and we send our kids off to school to get learned, to get taught by, most of them do not believe in God. 90% of them don't believe in God. 95% don't believe in God. That affects the way they do what they do. But do you realize when somebody has a very low amount of religiousness to them, you know, maybe they just got in church. They just got in church. They're all excited, man. They're on fire. And they're reading their Bible and say, whoa, this is not what I've been taught. This is not what I've been taught. Thy word is truth. I'm going to believe what God. They have a high degree of belief in God. The longer somebody is in church, the less that matters. You know why? Because they've compromised what God says. They've wanted to compromise with what man says and put it into the Bible somehow. And their degree of believing there's a conflict goes less and less and less and less. Folks, please, do not misunderstand me. It is so important that we understand what God says and believe what he says and live by what he says. It is so, so, so very important. We send our kids off and they end up getting confused. One of the reasons, big reason, we teach Bible stories. You know, the story of Jonah, the story of Noah, the story of Adam. And in school, they get the facts, unassailable facts at that. And all of a sudden, little kids are growing up hearing nothing but, you know, the Bible stories concept. Hey, Grandpa, tell us a story. You know, it's a story. And then they go off and they get the evidence, they get the facts, they get the knowledge, they get all this, and it conflicts with those stories. And all of a sudden, they realize, I guess this is true. Maybe God did it this way. And all of a sudden, we got a compromised mush. Folks, it becomes a really, really important thing. It truly, truly does. That's why I so appreciate being able to go into schools. I have been to just hundreds of schools all across this country, not just Christian schools, but private schools, public schools. I mean, we were one time. This is hilarious. Whole full school assembly, public school. And it was great. There's nobody in the building. Everybody's in the auditorium. Everybody was in the auditorium. UPS shows up to make a delivery, needed a signature. There's nobody around. Where is everybody? He ends up rummaging around and found everybody in the auditorium. And he came and sat in here with us. He shut his truck off and sat in there for an hour. Now, folks, I don't know if you know anything about UPS drivers. They don't have an extra hour to do nothing. This was so important, the information, he decided, I'm going to stay right there. But anyway, but I've done this over and over, decades. And it is so, we've had amazing things. I've had some universities and colleges where administration required police protection, and it was horrible. ACLU's been on me, it's a mess. But anyway, the point is, just the other day, I was at Penn State University, and the point is, the more age that comes on a person, and the more they get indoctrinated, the less they end up believing what God says. So it is so important that we realize this. Listen, God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. He wants to use you. He wants to use you. If you're a willing vessel and say, here am I, Lord, I'll do it, man, do it. Just do it. Just do it. It's so, 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 so important. God be true and every man a liar, folks. Now, I'm going to show you what I'm talking about in Scripture. Maybe you don't know this is in here. 2 Peter 3, verse 3 through 7. Knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and earth, which are now by the same word of confessor, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. All right, now watch what this says. Look at what it says. Knowing this first, hang on, I got to get my super fancy screen pointer. I guarantee nobody in this room has one just like this. Doubles as an AM radio antenna. But it works. But the lasers don't work on these things. But knowing this verse, this is a big deal. There are scoffers in the last day because of their own lusts and desires are saying, where is the promise of his coming? What's this deal about Jesus coming? What is this talking about? Because of evolution, uniformitarianism, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. Do you realize that's what evolution is? The present's the key to the past. All that stuff, it's always been going on this way all throughout time. It's been the same thing. We're warned it's coming. And for this they willingly are ignorant of. Look, that phrase right there, willingly are ignorant of. I want you to see this. Willingly literally means to determine, to choose, literally or figuratively, to wish, to be inclined to, sometimes gladly. Ignorant of, to lie hid. These scoffers in the last days are intentionally, deliberately, willfully, gladly allowing the truth of the Word of God to remain hidden concerning the original creation, the pre-flood, the flood, and how what's here now is here only because God's letting it stay here. And do you know this is exactly where evolution has its grip on those four issues right there? We were warned these scoffers were going to intentionally hide the truth about God's word from us. And that's exactly what's been happening. It's incredible. We are living this out right now. See, the whole creation evolution issue is more than just two different ways of looking at the same thing. One is truth, and one is more than just not truth. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's so important. Now, I want you to see this. In the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verse 3 through 17, is basically the full text of the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verse number 3, right in the middle. When it's set out, it is in the middle. It says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Rest of the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and holiday. Now, it says heaven and all, earth and all, sea and all. Folks, everything was made in a six-day creation, just like Genesis says, the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything. Do you realize if there ever was a frog alive, it was made with man. If there ever was an apple tree, it was made with man. If there was ever a dinosaur, it was made with man. If there was ever a whale, it was made with man. Everything was made in a six-day time frame. We're going to see some of that here today. John 5, 46 and 7, Jesus talking said, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Different translation says it this way. If you really believe Moses, you would believe me because he wrote of me. He wrote about me. But you don't believe what he wrote. So you can't believe what I say. Now, think of the importance of this for a second. Who wrote Genesis? Moses. Who wrote Exodus? Moses. Who is Jesus? Just some guy. No, he's only God, the God. He says, if you don't believe, not that Moses wrote something, what he wrote, you can't believe in him either. This is a big deal. This is a really serious thing. So it becomes important. It really, truly does. It absolutely does. Jesus said also, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. You notice he didn't say it was a beginning of another creation. He didn't say it was the beginning of a recreation. He didn't say it was some beginning for this creation. He says, but from the beginning of the creation. Folks, everything was made at the same time. Everything was made. There was a six-day creation time frame, climaxed with the creation of mankind. The God who spoke this place into existence is now walking this earth. And he certainly remembers what he did. And he said, that was the beginning of the creation. There are many more verses, but I mean, that's just a few. I think it pretty well nails it down that it was a six-day creation, and that's the way it was. You know, it seems that way to me anyway. But anyway, a sea of lies. Folks, the only truth we have is the Word of God. The only compass we have is the Word of God. That's it. That's really all there is to it. The Word is truth, whatever it says. So, let's look at this for a minute. We may get through 2 days. I'm not sure. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay. Right away. When was the beginning? When, you know, people start, you know, what does that mean? Well, let's think about that. Do you believe that? Do you believe what that very first verse in the Bible says? Now, let me run this by you. This building could never have been built if there wasn't a foundation first. Do you know the first thing you do? You didn't put the roof on this building first and then do the rest of it and foundation later. No, the foundation goes first. You can't finish anything until you start it. That's just the way it goes. God's word, he's going to give us his word. He's going to start it where it needs to be started, right at the beginning. So this is important. Do you believe that? See, if we believe that he did it, we really need to believe the way he said he did it. Because God is not going to do one thing and tell us he did another. That's a lie. He cannot lie, the Bible says, in several places. So whatever he did is what he told us. What he told us is what he really did. It's not some other way around. It's not some other way. So anyway, Genesis 1. So let's look at this thing. The day one, evening and morning were the first day. Evening and morning were the second day. Evening and morning were the third day. Evening and morning were the fourth day. Evening and morning were the fifth day. Evening and morning were the sixth day. Every day is worded the exact same way. Exact same way. A lot of times people say, well, the sun wasn't made till day four. Maybe that's when time started. And maybe those day one, two, three were eons of time or something. No, they're all worded the exact same. And then the word breakdown, we have a whole lesson, Words Mean Things, and where we break down the meaning of words and all that. And no, they're the same, exact same day. Seventh day God rested, and he rested from all the work which he had made. He's done. So let's look at day one right quick. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And right away, verse number two, people start getting really stumped up. God starts his word that he's the creator, and he's going to tell us how he did it. Now my wife made me a cake for my birthday. Okay, I had a cake. Here's how she did it. And she took flour and milk and what, you know. I mean, it's not two different cakes. It's still the same cake. She made me the cake, and then, oh, here's how she did it. So that's basically what's going to go on here. But notice, verse number two says, it's without form and void and darkness, and people say, that doesn't sound good. Yeah, we know God wouldn't do anything imperfect, so it must have been perfect, and it became this way. So they want to say there was a long-term creation, million, billion, whatever years, and all of a sudden God's going to redo it here because it says without form, void, darkness. And those words simply mean, probably most of you can't really see this, it's too small out there, but basically it means it's laying waste. It's just, it hadn't done anything with it yet. It's unused. It's empty. He hasn't fashioned it yet. He hasn't filled it yet. He hasn't done anything with it yet. He's starting with a raw slate, just a blank canvas. But notice how verse number two ends. It ends with, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, this is really awesome. This is really, really cool, because I want you to think about something. It is no different with a human life in 2026 right here in your community. Do you realize a person is void? A person is in darkness until the Spirit of God moves upon that individual. Do you realize the way God started everything originally is still the way he works even all the way down to an individual soul on this earth? That's pretty cool. The consistency of God is really quite amazing when you stop and think about it. His MO is what it is. I mean, he still operates the same way. But anyway, the next verse is, and God said. Okay. What did he say? Why did he have to say anything? Who's he saying it to? What's he saying it to? Why did he say, why does this say, and God did, and God created, and God made, and God, why does it say he said something? The only thing here is water. That's the only thing, the deep. The water, the only thing here is water.
God said,
what did he say? Let there be light.
I want you to realize something. If you don't know this, maybe some of you do. The light, the visible light that we see is a very narrow band on the wavelength spectrum. Everything is a frequency. Everything is a frequency.
On one side, you have x-rays, gamma rays, and all that kind of thing. The other side of where we can see, you have infrared, you have Wi-Fi, you have the key fob you have in your pocket or your purse to unlock your car and all that stuff. AM, FM radios, CBs, police radios, all that stuff. It's all on one, the other end. The visible light is on that frequency chart. That's where it divides. And God said, check this out. You know, this is something pretty cool too. This is 2024. Water's interesting. They say you can remember. Water has memory. That's pretty cool. And there is actual good evidence for it. But that may make this whole idea, think of James 3:10. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Think about this one. The importance of the words we say. We all have heard, no doubt, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words can never hurt me. You heard that, right? That's nonsense. You know, stick or stone break will heal. Sometimes words that are said, they go down deep. And they cut literally for an entire life sometimes. I've talked to so many people over the years. We have a Walk in Faith ministry also, which is a healing ministry, deliverance type thing. And I'm telling you, I've sat one-on-one with people, even 100 years old. Things that were said to them when they were five still haunt them. The whole life. I mean, another whole topic. Merry heart maketh cheerful countenance, but sorrow of the heart, spirit is broken. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Broken heart drieth up the bones. There's so many verses on this. So many. Anyway. The words of a talebearer is wounds, and they go down to the innermost parts of the belly. And they really can't do that. But anyway, let's get back into it. Sonoluminescence. I don't know if anybody has heard of sonoluminescence, but it's really kind of a neat field of research and science. Basically, they have a jar. You can have a jar, and you can put electrode on each side, send a frequency through it, and a star will appear. They call it a star in a jar. A light work. All it is water and frequencies applied to it, light forms. And God said, let there be light. And there's much more to this, but this is pretty cool. Sonoluminescence, how bubbles turn sound into light. Sonoluminescence, where sound and light meet. This is really cool. And God said, what did he say? Let there be light. He spoke into that water and let there be light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Think of a few things that we don't really realize. What is time, for instance? In the beginning. Okay, what is time? What is time? How we define time is up to us. What is time? They don't know. The question is more philosophical than physical. We can redefine it on our own terms. Really? 2022, what is time? They don't have a clue. It's impossible to completely define the nature of time. Same thing with gravity. What is gravity? Everything we've been taught is not the way that we've been taught it. That's for sure. But anyway, check this out. I'm going to turn this up. Some of you may know this guy. Probably most of you don't, but it's okay. I mean, Michio Kaku is the premier theoretical physicist on this earth. I mean, this guy has been on every radio show, every TV show, anything you can get his face on. And I mean, he's not just some guy. He's the big shot of the big shots. Okay, on this kind of topic. He's the co-founder of string field theory. He's a real. He's a brain. He's brilliant. Anyway, he's authored several public PhD level textbooks. Somebody's got to write the PhD level textbooks. Listen to this. This is amazing.
Why are you sitting in your chair today? Does gravity pull you to the floor? No, there is no such thing as gravitational pull. We lied to you.
Whoa. I didn't say it. He said it. He's only the guy that knows more than anybody else on all this stuff. That's all.
I mean, we lied to you?
That's pretty amazing. But same thing. What is light? Anyway, what is light? We do not see light. And God said, let there be light. We don't see light. We see what the light is hitting. If we're in this room and it's nighttime, so it's dark outside even, we turn all the lights off, we can't see each other. We're still here in this room, but you can't see each other because there's nothing hitting you. There's not. In fact, light is, in fact, what makes objects visible. We do not see light. We see what the objects that represent it. The mysteries of light. What are we really seeing, 2024? You're not actually seeing the objects. You're interpreting what the objects that you see based on the light that is reflecting it itself. I mean, it goes on and on. Why we can't see light? Why we can't see it? Look down here. Humans can't see light. We can only see the objects that are illuminated by the light. That's what we see. And same thing, 2026. What do you think about light? What do you know about light? What you think is probably completely wrong. I mean, everything we have been taught, to some degree or another, is not necessarily so. But light now, they say they've clocked it at 186,000 miles per second. But yet they don't even know what it is. They don't know if it's a particle, if it's a wave, if it's a photon. They don't know. Look at this. 01, research is now able to stop and restart light. Now, I want you to think about something. If light is a constant, 186,000 miles per second, the way we were taught, some of you may have forgotten you were taught that, but you were taught that. I mean, our kids that we have and our grandkids, they're still being taught that. That's what they're teaching. But if man can manipulate that and stop light, then it's not a constant. But they say it's a constant. But then we can't manipulate it. You can't have it both ways. And that's an 01. 01, stopping light in its tracks. Another one. 05, stopping light in its tracks. Another one. In 07, had a stop light in a trapped rainbow. 2015, speed of light not so constant after all. 2015, freezing light in its tracks. 2016, hold it right there. How and why to stop light in its tracks. 2016, stopping light in its tracks. 2023, stopping light. How light, scientists made light come to a complete halt. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Folks, they've known for years and years and years, all the way up to today. Light is not a constant, but yet it's still taught as a constant. Remember the 2 Peter verses, and remember what I started with. Folks, they are intentionally telling us stuff. That's not true, but thy word is truth. Why do you think that is? If they can get minds messed up, I say they, I mean, if the enemy, if the devil can get our minds messed up good enough to where we are not able to even accept the fact that there is a God, he's done a good job. You know, think about this. The devil is not going to take out God. He's not going to do it. He can't do it. What's the next best thing? Take out whoever is made in the image and likeness of God. Oh, I can mess with them pretty much. And he's done a brilliant job. He's got a lot of help, done a brilliant job. But folks, we need to stand on thy word is truth. Exactly what the Bible says. Even if it ruffles feathers, we need to stand on it. Anyway, why don't we go on and on? I don't know if any of you have ever, I'm just gonna skip through this, but anyway. The Bible does talk about there's going to be a time where there's no need of the sun. God's going to be the light that shines. That's kind of cool. That's going to be, no, I mean, there is no need for the sun. The Lord God giveth him light. That's pretty neat. That's really pretty neat. He compares the light that God gives us. It's not just a light like in a revelation necessarily. He's comparing it to the light of the sun in the same sentence. I mean, that's really kind of incredible. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and morning were the first day. And folks, that's just a little bit. I skipped a ton of stuff just for the sake of time. I went through this list and blocked out a whole bunch of slides. But the point is, there is an enormous amount of truth to what God says, like all of it, but yet there's an enormous amount of failure to what evolution teaches, or we have been taught about who we are, what we are, where we came from, everything about us, because that's the enemy's way. He wants to do his best to take us out. But anyway, I'll be sure and stop and see my wife's table. But let's look at day two real quick. Let's try to get through day two, and then we'll stop. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. Okay, first of all, what in the world is a firmament? All right.
The firmament is mentioned in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 6, early on, day number 2. The word firmament is actually used several times in this Genesis 1, and it's always the same verse. It's always the same word. And the word means, properly and expanse, is a firmament or visible arch of the sky. And it is from a word that literally means to pound the earth, by analogy, to expand, by hammering, implications to overlay as with thin sheets of metal, to overlay it, to put something out flat. If you go to, maybe you guys have a Old Town Home Day, you know, kind of thing where you can go and they have all kind of, the way things were in the 1800s or something like that, whatever. And there'll always be a blacksmith shop somewhere in that kind of setting. And you can go in, and usually there'll be somebody in there, and they heat up some kind of metal, and then what do? They hammer it, they beat it, they can do all kind of things with it. They can bend it, they can twist it, they can fold it, they can curl it up, they can flatten it out, they can do all kind of things with it once it's heated. That is the word definition of the word that God says to is that firmament. That's what the definition of those words are, of that word is right there. Even Job 37, that has that with him, spread out the sky, which is strong as a molten looking glass. Can you like him spread out the sky, hard as a rock, as a cast metal mirror? Talks about sweating it out. In fact, that word is actually used several times in scripture, and it's always used to spread something with gold, to flatten out something, to stamp on something, plates of metal or something like that, along those lines, every single time. That's what it's used. Now, I will say this. I don't know if you know who Wernher von Braun was, but this is the guy that started first head of NASA. And on his tombstone, and we've actually been to his grave, he put Psalm 19:1 on the tombstone, which is kind of cool when you think about it, the head of NASA. And he's got a pretty radical past. In fact, Wernher von Braun, this is right out of Marshall Space Flight Center's documentation. That's not me making it up. He was a leading figure in development of rocket technology in Nazi Germany and a pioneer of rocket and space technology in the United States. Von Braun worked in Nazi Germany's rocket deployment program. This guy, they brought him over here, another whole topic, but it's a big deal. But he wrote, what he got, 19:1 on his tombstone. His group in the 60s was assimilated into NASA, where he served as director of the newly formed Marshall Space Flight Center. This is at a NASA.gov, history.nasa.gov. It's incredible. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Folks, what God says he did, and truly is an amazing, beautiful creation that we have. Now, I don't know if any of you know about this guy, Neil deGrasse Tyson. He is an atheist. I mean, he says he's not, but I mean, he has certainly says it in a way. He says, I remain unconvinced by any claims anyone has ever made about the existence or power of a divine force operating in the universe. He says, nobody has ever shown me. I don't believe anything anybody has ever said that would say there's a God, that there's some kind of divine force in operating this universe. But anyway, listen to what he says here. Check this out.
So everybody who tried to make proclamations about the physical universe based on Bible passages got the wrong answer.
That's amazing right there. Everybody, because folks, that statement, that kind of mentality is what many of us have gone through and or many of our children are going through when they go to school. If they want to say something about the Bible, oh, no, you're going to get the wrong answer. This is the right answer. Folks, thy word is truth, not that other stuff. There are so many people over the years, I've talked to just hundreds of them, they will write the right answer, but they will actually write an answer or a statement underneath that, you know, I don't believe this the way you teach it, but I have to. They have to do that to get to pass the test. And it's sad in a sense, but it's truth nevertheless. But anyway, it divided the waters from the waters which were under the firmament, from the waters which were above the firmament, called that was heaven. to be the definition of heaven to be lofty, sky dual purpose, alluding to the visible arch in which the individual clouds move, as well as the higher ether where the celestial bodies reside. That's another thing, higher ether. We don't talk that way anymore. But that's what's in the definition of the word heaven. That didn't used to be in this country. In fact, there was a time, many of our grandparents, maybe somebody's parents, they used to use the word ether a lot. Especially, you know, like a little child, grandson's maybe saying something that grandma knows is not true, but he's saying it anyway. And she would say something like, be careful what you say, it's in the ether out there somewhere. You know, we used to talk like that, but we don't anymore. But ether theories propose there is an existence of a medium of some sort. There has to be. In fact, Einstein even said, we may say, according to the general theory of relativity, space is endowed with physical qualities. In a sense, therefore, there exists an ether. I mean, he said there has to be something there. There can't be any place for space or time. They can't be there. They can't be there. Now, I don't know if anybody is familiar with this yet, but I'm going to say this. This is, folks, we need to believe what God says, and we need to get serious about it. And please understand, church, no, I don't want to say it that way. Being born again is not just an attitude or mannerism that is displayed in church once a week. Listen, it is a 24/7 lifestyle attitude, okay? It is so important. It is so important that we understand it's not in the building only. It's everywhere all the time. Things are getting serious. I don't know if anybody has ever heard of this yet, but just like a year ago, a little over, well, February 2025, do you know that Microsoft came up with a new state of matter? This is kind of amazing. It's cool, but it's scary amazing. But anyway, they say they have created a single quantum computer which would be more powerful than all classical computers on the planet. That's what it says here. They say it essentially created a new state of matter. It's not a solid, not a liquid, not a gas. They don't know what it is, not plasma. It's a new state of matter. And they say that make today's supercomputers, this thing they came up with, almost antiquated, the supercomputers. Last December, for example, Google unveiled an experimental quantum computer system. Researchers say takes just 5 minutes to finish calculation that most supercomputers would require over 10 septillion years to complete, longer than the universe has been in existence, they say. This thing that they came up with can do it in 5 minutes. This is kind of crazy. This is crazy. Where we're headed, we better buckle our seatbelts and buckle down and realize thy word is truth and believe what God says about literally absolutely everything, because it's important. But anyway, going to divide the waters from the waters above it and the waters below it. Every translation will say the water above, the water below, the water below, water above, water heaven, water earth. I mean, they all say the same thing. God divided the water with this thing. Now, Genesis 6, 7, and 8. I'm going to wrap it up here. God says, Noah, build a boat. Genesis 6. Genesis 7, God floods the earth. Genesis 8, floodwaters recede. Genesis 9, they're getting off the ark. Okay, that's what's going on. Genesis 7 says the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. That word opened literally means to open up, to open wide. You can open a window, open a door, open up. Okay, and Genesis 8, the foundations also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped. That word stopped means to shut up, by implication, to surrender. The water from heaven was restrained. That word, think about that for a minute. It means to restrict, to hold back by act. Think about this way. Genesis, there was a flood. The Bible says the windows of heaven were open. Floodwaters came in. Fountains of the great deep broke up. Floodwaters came up. All right. Then it says the fountains and the windows were shut. The water was restrained. It didn't say the water emptied out. It doesn't say the water dumped out, water finished. It says the water was restrained. Hold back. That's what the word means. If you're walking your dog, and your dog on a leash, and your dog sees another dog, you have to restrain that dog a little more because they're going to try to get to each other. You have to restrain. You still have the dog. You have to restrain it. And that's exactly what the Bible says about that water. Now, think of this. If the Bible says the windows were shut and the water was restrained, held back, that must mean there's still water out there somewhere. That's what it says. In fact, Psalm 148 says, praise him, ye heavens of heavens, ye waters that be above the heavens. That confirms, written after Genesis, I mean, there's still water out there. Do you know that it, now the Bible said that thousands of years ago, but only recently, in the 2000s, now they're saying, yeah, our solar system's a lot wetter than we thought it was. They're starting to realize this. But that's one of those things that the scholars in the Bible would say, water out there. There's no water out there. Oh, there's water there. They just didn't know it yet. Folks, whatever they teach, it's not, oftentimes it's not an intentional lie on any individual teacher's part. It's what they've been taught. And that, and then they find new stuff, and they go, wow, okay. I mean, now they say, there's look what ocean's out there. It's beyond changing astronomers' minds. They can't figure out, wow, there's water out there. Folks, the Bible said that thousands of years ago. Well, we get called radical because we want to believe the Bible. If you get your information from the Bible, you're going to come to wrong answers, they say. No, it's not true. Evening and morning were the second day. Folks, there's only 2 days. Only 2 days of the 6 days. I'm telling you, I got to stop, but I do want to say, it is more important than ever before. I don't want to turn this into a science lesson or anything, but I do want to verify to you and say to you that what is being taught as science to our children and oftentimes steering them away from what God says, and what, I mean, says about even salvation, and they just wander off. It's so important that we understand that's not true. Thy word is true. You know, there have been so many times, so many cases where we've been on the road a long time. We go to churches, they're little kids, they're just precious little kids, man. They love God. They're up front dancing and twirling, and they raise their hands, they clap. They're so nice. They're so friendly. Everything's great. We go back to that same church 14, 15 years later. Now those little kids, they're adults. They got their own family now. They're toast. So many of them are just toast. They walked away from God. It breaks the parents' heart because they all do the same thing. They never saw it coming till it was too late. See, I want you to realize something. When this is so important. When our kids are small, that goes back to the words we say issue, right? It's not just us. And it's not just the textbooks. It's movies, videos, cartoons, coloring books. It's everywhere. But it's also other kids. And those children, you realize they are learning everything. They don't know how to change a tire. They don't know how to microwave an egg. They don't know anything. Especially when they're little. They're learning eye, nose, ear, kitty, dog, mommy, daddy, chair, table, learning all this stuff. Nobody comes with all that knowledge. They learn it. When a little child learns that this is two, and they know it, and they've learned it, you can ask that child when he's 85 years old, how many is this? That child is no longer a child, and he knows that's two. How do you know that? Oh, I learned that when I was just a little kid. See, what they learn at a young age, what we learn in our molding time frame, it sticks in there, and it stays. And do you realize somebody can just be a neighbor, a school classmate, and they can say something to our children that we'd rather they didn't say, and rather our child didn't hear, but now it's in there. And unless we have a really good relationship with those kids, they're not necessarily going to say something. That way they might say, Daddy, what is such and such? we don't talk about that yet. You know, you're too young. We'll get to that. And time goes on, but it's still in there. And if we don't give them the answer, they're going to find an answer. And it may be from where we wish it wasn't. So my point is, folks, when all this stuff is going on all throughout schooling, continually getting reinforced and hammered and hammered and hammered, and we go to church for an hour once a week, and even then, it's a lot of music. I'm not against the music. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying, and there's very limited time of actual instruction and teaching. Oh, I know there's offering of Bible studies and Wednesday night services. I know there's offerings of other things, you know, you can come to. But the point is, we got an hour to undo literally hours upon hours of that same week. And it's upside down. And a lot of times what they're being taught, or what they're hearing, what they're contemplating, parents don't even know until it's too late. And they grow up, they get out of the house, they get out of church too. Breaks the parents' heart because they can't figure it out. I don't understand. We were in church every time the doors were open. That's great. But that's not enough. Folks, you get the point. It is important that we stand on thy word as truth. It is so important. Anyway, Pastor, it's 12:30. After 12:30, I got to stop because that's what time you said. But be back Tuesday night. Be back Tuesday night. And do bring some visitors. I agree with what he said. Let's pack the place out.
Standing amen. Wednesday night, Tuesday night. I'm not sure if it's Tuesday night or Wednesday night, but we're going to talk about, did we go to the moon or not? And is the earth flat or what? No, I don't know if we're going to cover those, but that might come up. And you might want to have some questions for Tuesday or Wednesday night. But amen. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. What do we base everything on? We've got to base it on the Word of God. If you base it on what he says or she says or what this person wrote in a book, or, you know, as long as what they said or what they wrote was based on the Word of God, you'll be okay. But when we get off of that, we make an error. I want to make sure that I know the Word of God. Amen. We've got to love the Word of God. We've got to read the Word of God. We've got to study it for ourselves. Amen. I believe that God is wanting there to be a revival of His Word. And in the day and hour that we live in, there's so much distraction, social media, all this stuff, internet, you know, there's so much information. And we're being distracted by all of that. But we've got to get back to the Word of God. We've got to know what it says about things like creation. We've got to know what it says about how to be saved. We've got to study and learn what it says about how to treat our brother, how to get along with one another, how to raise our families. Amen. How to put God first in our life today. Would you just thank God for His Word today? Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your promises. We thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. We thank You for Your power. I pray that You will let Your Word come alive in our hearts, Lord. Let there be a love for the things of Your Word. Help us to study it. Help us to memorize it, Lord. I pray that You would minister and work and move in our lives. Move in this church, Lord. Let this be a place that people come and they hear the truth of Your Word. Let this be a place that people come and after all the chaos and confusion of the world, Lord, they can find what is truth. In Jesus' name, we thank You for it, Lord, and we praise You for it right now. I need You, God. I can't make it without You, but I've got to have Your help. I've got to have Your strength, Lord. I've got to have Your power, God. Lord, move and work in me, I pray, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. We're closing, but I wonder if it's appropriate if you just reach over and take the hand of somebody next to you, put your arm around them, and I wonder if you'd pray that there would be a blessing from the Lord upon their life right now, whatever they're going through, whatever they're facing. Come on, whatever they're dealing with right now, would you just pray? Come on, reach over and pray for your friend right now. Pray for your neighbor right now. God bless my brother. God bless my sister. I pray that you would work in their life. I pray that you would move in their heart. I pray that you would make a way. You see the things they're going through right now, Lord. You know the situation they're dealing with. You know the struggles they're having right now. I pray that you would touch. I pray that you would work. I pray, God, that you would encourage and strengthen them, Lord. Help them to keep the faith. Help them to be strong in the faith, Lord. Help them to trust in you in spite of what they're going through right now. Lord, we speak life. We speak victory and hope to their situation. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, God, that we can trust in you and stand upon your word. Bless my friend, Lord. Bless my brother. Bless my sister. Help them today. Help them today, Lord. We thank you for your word and your promises, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord.